You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to 1001 Greatest Love Stories with your Australian host, Erica Tippett. In this interview, I speak with my second cousin, Declan, and hear how he met his partner, Wheezy, in exceptional circumstances during the COVID pandemic. Wheezy was his roommate's long-term school friend. Declan had met and hung out with her friends, and they were familiar with one another, but they had never met in person. After a chance match in an online dating app, they had early communications, but she soon lost interest and ghosted him. Ghosting is a term used to describe the act of suddenly ending all communication with someone with no explanation or warning. Similar to the previous episode, in the interview with Suya, Declan raises the issue of red flags in relationships, and the only real consideration was readiness to be in a serious relationship. A footnote on social bubbles. A social bubble is a group of people that you can come into contact with in a controlled way. During the COVID-19 pandemic, social bubbles were formed to help limit the spread of the virus. The idea was to create a small group of people who could interact with each other without social distancing, while still limiting the number of people they came into contact with. The rules around social bubbles varied depending on the time and location.
So Declan, where are you from? And just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I currently live in Atlanta, Georgia. I was born and raised in Florida, and I've been in Georgia for about 5.5 years. I moved here by myself in 2018 to attend graduate school here, and I'm still in graduate school here.
Thanks. And you met your current partner at the very beginning of lockdown. Can you tell me how that happened?
Yeah. So, you know, you had mentioned in your email that lockdown was very strict in Australia, and Americans didn't have it quite so strict in the early period. So my current partner, her name is Wheezy. We met in the early summer of 2020, May 2020. Mm-hmm. And the way that we met is sort of two-pronged. The first is that Wheezy's childhood best friend was actually my roommate. My roommate, his name is Philip. When I moved to Atlanta, I didn't know anybody, and I sort of built up a small community through playing soccer here. And we had moved in together in May 2020, shortly after the pandemic began here. We had talked about living together for a long time, and that's sort of, you know, when our previous leases were up. So Wheezy knew a little bit about me from my roommate, and the two of them, like I said, had known each other since they were probably 5 and went to school together through high school. And Phil and I had already been friends before we were roommates, and I had hosted a few parties and stuff pre-COVID with Phil and Wheezy's friends, but Wheezy had never been there. So I'd sort of started infiltrating her community without ever meeting her or knowing who she was before about May 2020. And so before we actually met in person in April of 2020, I was living in Atlanta, and lockdown started here in March. I remember being in school and having an exam in spring break in maybe like the second week of March, and things started shutting down, and they were, very shut down. I wasn't sure what to do really, and ended up driving home to Florida to stay with my parents for an indefinite period of time, and it ended up being the rest of March and April of 2020. And
So
while
school
I was
was
there,
completely closed at that time.
it was remote. I was still doing some things for school. We were all sort of just struggling through finishing our coursework. But the way it is here is the semester starts very early in the spring. So we kind of just crawled across the finish line at the end of the spring semester. Didn't have much going on at home because there wasn't much to do besides for play video games and hang out with my parents. And I'm an only child, so that can only be so entertaining. And so what did I do? I was single at the time. I was on the dating apps. And I don't know if you have it in Australia, but here we have an app called Hinge. And
Maybe.
or if you know, because you've been married for quite some time, Hinge is a little different than some of the other apps in that it gives you a little bit more like background information on a person before you swipe. You have to like answer more prompts, and a little bit more geared towards dating than like Tinder or Bumble, which are just like swiping a lot. So one day I was swiping on Hinge and I got a match, and it ended up being Wheezy. And because Hinge, unlike Tinder or Bumble, lets you keep a location if you want. So I had my location kept in Atlanta, even though I wasn't here. I want to meet someone in Atlanta, not in Florida. And I matched with Wheezy, and that's a pretty identifiable name. And it's gonna sound very corny for some of your audience, and that Wheezy is a nickname for the rapper Lil Wayne. He often calls himself Wheezy F, and then like changes how he's referring to himself in that way. So my pickup line to Wheezy was like Wheezy F baby, and the F is for blank, and she just didn't respond. And admittedly, it's like really embarrassing line. Deep in the swiping and internet dating, you sort of like run out of pickup lines. But I had a positive for me in that she knew who I was, right? Like, so the pickup line didn't quite matter, and she ended up responding. And honestly, the conversation was crap. Like, we didn't have much to talk about. There wasn't a lot going on. She didn't really respond very quickly to me. And on paper, I think, we don't really have that many things in common. Like, I am a graduate student focused on sports. Like, everything in my life is geared towards sports, from school to athletics, and just like watching it on TV for fun. And Wheezy is not that way. She is much more focused on art. So, like a key component of this story is that she was an art historian. She was following that path. And if you want to get into art history, you common thing to do is to be a curator. And so she was a fellow at the National Gallery here, which is, like a pretty sweet position. But curation, like academia, is very sort of unstable. And she was on a 1 year position, and with lockdown, the museum was closed. So she moved out of Washington, D.C., and was home in Atlanta with her family, where she's from. And that was sort of like what brought us. That's why her area was Atlanta. But like I said, we still hadn't met in person, and our conversation was just not very good. And I followed her on Instagram too. Like, these were just not very sly moves. And I guess I just didn't really care at this point. Like, both of us, we're not old, but we have both dated a lot, and like sort of have a lot of experience navigating these early relationships. And so like I just didn't have a problem with being like forthright and like, maybe a little bit embarrassing or corny.
And did you think that it, like you said, you weren't getting a lot of response or the response wasn't happening very quickly? So what made you persist, I guess?
Yeah, well, I didn't like she ghosted me. We stopped talking. I was talking to other people on the app, and so when I came back to Atlanta in early May to move because I had to get out of my other apartment. And like I said, lockdown here was more of a suggestion than a law.
Right.
So trying to navigate what it meant to date in early COVID was very stressful for a single person. I remember like seeing this other person that I ended up seeing a few times and doing it like outside in parks or having these sort of like strained conversations about like who is in their bubble and who is in my bubble and like
Right.
what exposure was too much. And that person
It's
I
not
was
very
seeing was
romantic.
no, and it created a lot of stress. And I think this plays into like the way that Weezy and I's relationship started was that like I think dating in early COVID like forced a lot of people to think about things that were maybe like a little bit more advanced than where their relationships were.
Right.
So like, was seeing this person a little bit, getting to know their bubble, which was like their small friend group. It was fine. Then they left town for a while, and the status of our relationship, we weren't like exclusive or anything. And it wasn't like an amazing relationship, but during COVID, like not trying to take too many risks, not seeing like more than one person at a time. But when she left, it sort of coincided with me living in this apartment with Philip and this one other person that we had. It was a three person sort of like top of an old house in here in Atlanta. And the three of us like started forming our own bubble. And Philip had a long-term girlfriend, so she was a part of our bubble, but otherwise it was pretty small. And what quickly started happening was that a few of Philip's childhood friends who had moved home joined our bubble too. And that included Wheezy. And it was definitely quite weird early on seeing her, and like we knew who each other were, but like just awkward conversation and passing. Like I had helped that other person move that I was seeing, and like had briefly crossed paths with her on our porch outside, and like had some short conversations about like her background and like why she was home. And we talked, actually, I remember like our first meaningful conversation was her master's thesis in art history was focused on the American South, and like she did photography as the focus of her art history, and how photography could play into like ideals and tropes of the American South. And that was really close to my master's work, which was centered on soccer, but was asking questions about like soccer and community and identity in the American South. So, I had very little to do, like I said. So I, read her master's thesis, and I promised, I swear to her afterwards that I wasn't like trying to play games or like, get on her good side. But I was interested in her work. So used, read her master's thesis and like started having some conversation. But it was really like, there was one night Weezy was at her parents', her childhood home. Her parents, they have like a second home and were out of town there. And so like the bubble had a party, and it felt like a high school party where like, there's not much else going on in a parent's house, like where you probably feel like you shouldn't be, and mixed up with some alcohol, and sort of like hit it off like in person from there. And it's really strange because like obviously she had ghosted me, and it was a weird place because she had previously been seeing somebody, but like from that first night that we got together, it was immediate between the two of us.
You
And that's
finally
where I
found
think,
a connection though, right? In
yeah, right.
your interests and your worlds.
And like I said, I think dating in early COVID required you to have like these thoughts about what are you doing? Like it felt like there needed to be a little bit more of a point. And like I said, the two of us had dated a lot and like knew what we wanted in a partner at that point. And it was a pretty freak occurrence that COVID had brought her back home, because I don't think otherwise we would have met. She hadn't spent any meaningful time since high school at, back home. So what happened after that was like it was just quick and immediate. I mean, we were spending every day together, extended periods, and
we'll be back to our interview right after these sponsor messages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And now back to our interview with Declan.
It was very informal because there wasn't a lot of like stereotypical things that like dating things that we could do together. The things that you could do were like spend time, and we were all in a bubble together, and like, what did the bubble do but like just try and survive and like get through on daily life.
Yeah.
I remember after that first hookup, we like made dinner together at her parents' house, and like that was about like the most formal it got. It was like very informal relationship, and I had a dog, like walking the dog, just hanging out. Like there wasn't really anything like, you know, mind-blowing that happened, but like I said, I think that meant that we couldn't really like hide behind some of the early dating things that can like mask the traits that you're not looking for in a partner, right? So even though we might not have had like the same textbook interests on paper, it was very quickly apparent that we shared a very similar life outlook. We had similar college educational backgrounds, you know, having post-secondary degrees and like, you know, interests in terms of, you know, trying to push ourselves academically, but also what we were looking for in a partner. Like, and that meant, how did you want to spend every day? And to us, like the thing that I think makes our relationship special even now is like, we don't have to do anything to be entertained. And I think like on the flip side, like a lot of relationships were really tried during COVID because people like find ways to avoid their significant other. Like my grandfather was married for like 50 years to this woman, not my grandmother, and like within a year of COVID she was gone because they use like other people to prop up their relationship. So yeah, like I said, we were just, you know, like existing, you know, spending time together, having those conversations about what we wanted to accomplish in life, you know, what we like to do on a daily basis, and just like being really similar. We had been together for maybe 3 weeks, and her, like I said, her parents were gone. And it was kind of strained in the house with my roommates, not with Philip, but like we had another roommate, and like the questions of like lockdown on who you were seeing. So I went to Wheezy's parents' house with her. I brought my dog, and it was like, we were living together after 3 weeks, which like was so ridiculous, but that was great, right? Like a very quick introduction to what it would be like to spend every day with that person. And, you know, not like it wasn't like super exciting or anything, but, you know, enjoying that time. And then like 2 weeks after that, she tells me, oh, I'm going to go up to my parents' house and where her parents were, and I don't know when I'm going to come back. And I was like, oh, well, crap. Like it was really fun while it lasted. I guess it's over. Don't know when I'm going to see her. Had only started dating, like not really like willing to guarantee that I'll wait or anything. And she asked me, hey, do you want to come with me to this to our house with my parents. You know, my parents who are in their 60s and with COVID, not trying to see anybody else, basically asking, do you want to come spend a uncertain amount of time with my parents in a house of the four of us, away from anybody else that you might know, and see how it goes? Because, you know, she liked me that much. I still don't know why her parents agreed to let her invite me to their house, but this was a point in my PhD where I was reading for my comprehensive exam, so there was nothing much going on. I was just reading every day, and I could read from anywhere. So I said yes. I took my stuff and dog down to Florida and left the dog with my parents for a little bit and flew up there. I'm not sure if you know where Nantucket is, but it's a little island off the coast of Massachusetts. A very small
Oh,
place.
yeah, okay.
It's got nice beaches, so that's where we were. And I proceeded to spend 6 weeks, like during the height of lockdown, just existing, working on my comprehensive exams, making dinner, going to the beach, like just the four of us. And it was a very risky thing to do, but you know, if our relationship was like defined by like taking these like big risks early on, it really paid off because like I felt immediately very close to her parents, very close to her, and like a part of the family within 6 weeks of dating, or you know, 2 months. And from there, it's like everything was easy after that point. And her mom made that point to her early on when we were all up there. It's like, if the two of you can manage to get by in this stressful of an environment, you can survive anything in the future. And I really agree with that. Like,
Yeah.
we've been together for almost 4 years now.
That's a very solid start, but it's almost like a fast forward relationship, right?
Exactly right. Like, we skipped ahead and, you know, we bought a house together very quickly after starting to dating, like a little over a year. And we're not married, but like those things feel very normal and safe when, you know, you're basically like have been living with the person from day one.
When did you get to introduce her to your parents in Florida? Like, was that determined by pandemic situation?
Yeah,
Did it just kind
absolutely.
of naturally happen?
Yeah, I mean, my parents, I think the first time we all saw each other was Christmas of 2020. My parents came up from Florida and stayed with us, I think. And it was stressful because, you know, there was the COVID thing and the relationship thing and not much else to do besides to be in the house. But like I said, you know, it was, yeah, I guess I was 2020. All of the years start to like blend
They
together,
do.
and I can't even remember like identifiable things. I feel like, you know, I just emerged from a black hole a little bit.
But that was maybe 7 months into your relationship then.
Yeah, and it was kind of weird because, you know, I had spent significant time with her parents, and so I already felt like a part of the family for them. But you know, we talked to my parents on FaceTime, and you know, it is what it is. We spend less time with my parents as is because they're in Florida and her parents are here at least like half the time. And her whole extended family is here in Atlanta too. So it's just a little bit different, but we see my parents on like during the holidays and things like that.
And is she an only child as well?
No, she has a brother. He's 5 years older than us. He lives in Atlanta as well. And it's funny too, when I say like I feel a part of the family, he's also very interested in soccer. And early on, that was a way for me to connect with him and her dad. And I ended up like a little bit later down the road, I started coaching soccer. And her brother, his name's Pierce, he's my assistant coach. So I actually, not right this minute, but like during the season, spend more time with him than she does and like see him probably 5 to 6 times a week. And, you know, we, like I said, it's just being a part of the family. Like, I feel like him and I are brothers. He's my right-hand man when it comes to coaching. And yeah, we have a good relationship too. And she has a bunch of cousins in Atlanta. See them all the time and spend a lot of the holidays with them. So it was just like, it's hard to describe, but
Just
just
fits
fine. Yeah, right. That's
together.
what I was going to say. Right. Like, there is no doubt. I mean, early on, you're like, wow, is this the right thing for me to be doing? And at every turn it has felt right, and it's not been forced or rushed or awkward. And, you know, like I said, in all of our other dating experience, like, there's always a red flag. And people talk always about red flags, and like, there was no red flags for the two of us. I mean, the only red flag was like, are you ready to be in a very serious relationship at, you know, what is not that old of an age? And we had early growing pains in that regards, but like, we quickly were able to like put those aside and, you know, move on together.
Well, that's fascinating, really. It's not at all like my experience. Mine was a much kind of slower trajectory in a relationship, maybe a bit more traditional, with, you know, starting with dating and seeing each other quite infrequently.
Right. And like in the before times, and like, you know, that we have an age gap between the two of us too, where like those norms, at least in the US, have like slowly become less norm, right? Where like the dating apps and like how you get to know somebody is so different when you have like this virtual relationship too. But also, I think Weezy and I are not free spirits, but like less inhibited. I don't know. The Australians, you guys have a little bit more poise than us.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before.
Maybe just me knowing you. I don't know.
Well, thank you. That's a fascinating experience. Where do you see the future for you both? Are you both fully aligned in your goals and your dreams? And has anything shifted for you because of the pandemic?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. We're definitely aligned and have like built our lives together to this point. I mean, like I said, I'm still in grad school, so that has not changed. Hopefully I'll be done this year. But she completely changed careers. Working in the art world was really draining and stressful. You don't get to choose where the curatorial positions will be open. And so she felt like she wanted to make a career shift, and she is finishing up becoming a therapist so she can, you know, work wherever, a mental health counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's finishing school and is going to be able to work. And that was almost 2 years ago that she started that. And what the pandemic has shown us too is, you know, we've been at home for a long time. Sorry, I was thinking the sort of like core of our relationship was like about the everyday norm. And I think COVID stripped a little bit of like our early 20s from us, like where you can have fun and like see what it's like to be a young person, because there wasn't like a lot to do. And, you know, one thing that we're really aligned on is when we're done with school and ready, you know, we've got some money that we want to move to Europe and like experience and like have more fun and travel before we like become full adults. And I think being on the same page there is like really important, because we both like worked really hard while we've been young and would like to have a little bit more fun. So I think that's like a big thing for us to look forward to in the next few years, like once we have worked through our schooling.
Yeah, that's great. Where in Europe? Do you have any ideas?
I think we want to probably live in London. I mean, with my dad's background, I can live there without needing a visa. And she did her master's in London. So she like, you know, knows the city. I've spent some time there and, you know, we have some connections, but like also using it as a place of like a jumping off point. It's like very easy to get places from London. Glasgow appeals to me, but that's not like the easiest place to start off living, especially if you like sunlight and like connections. But I could see that in the future too. But I think London's a starting point for us in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that sounds well deserved and like a great plan. Well, thanks so much for talking with me and sharing your experience and your relationship. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening to this interview. Have you ever been ghosted? Would you have done what Declan did and keep trying to engage with Weezy until she noticed him and they had a chance to make a connection? Would you have moved in with your partner's parents so early in a relationship? I don't think I would have, but I was happily married during COVID and remain so. What about your parents? Would they have accepted your partner into their home very early on in your relationship and created an environment where your relationship could develop and grow? In those unprecedented times, people faced unique circumstances and had to make exceptional decisions. The chances that Declan and Wheezy took, and her parents too, have paid off so far. Hopefully their relationship is a long and happy one. Do you have a story you would like to share? We are looking for more folks to interview for this podcast. Please get in touch with me, your host, Erica Tippett. Email me, admin@ericatippett.com. That's Erica with a C and Tippett, T-I-P-P-E-T-T. I'd love to hear from you. That's all for now. Thanks again.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.